So we've been going through the Epistle of James, the book of James, the last several weeks, and we're going to continue into this series, leading into late fall, actually leading right up to Advent. And so if you have not been able to hear the message, I encourage you to go back to listen, because the book of James is so practical and so good. And it's a handbook for Christ followers on how to live as Christians. And we've had some uncomfortable conversations through the word here. And God has a high standard, doesn't he? And sometimes we might think we can't attain those things. And you're right. We can't attain those things on our own. And we all stumble towards heaven every day. But the book of James is encouraging. And I hope you're finding that. And I hope it's made us feel a little uncomfortable, because that's a good thing. And as the Holy Spirit leads us and changes us from the inside out, that we recognize that he is working. And so, again, I encourage you to watch online if you're able to do that. So today we're in James 3, verses 13 to 18, and the verses will be up on the screen later on. But just a question for us this morning, and as I ask this question, as you think about this, you know, people are giving away lots of things in this world. There's lots of free things that are out there. And for myself personally, if I was to ask somebody for something, specifically the Lord, I'd ask for one thing more and more and more. And it's something I ask on a regular basis. I think we all do. It's wisdom. Who thinks they need more wisdom? I think we all do. I think all of us could admit that. And wisdom is a good thing. I don't think I've met anyone who doesn't desire to have more wisdom in their lives. Because we don't want to look like fools in scenarios and situations where we have to make decisions. And sadly, what happens too in our lives, we sometimes care about the wrong wisdom in our lives. The wisdom that is not about what God thinks, but it's what the world thinks of us. And we sometimes can filter our decisions upon worldly standards versus what Scripture tells us to do. And James is pointing in this direction. In this lesson, we're going to learn the difference between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And the hope is, as we leave this place this morning, that we have a greater understanding of what it means to live with the idea of heavenly wisdom in our lives. Now, there are many scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that speak about the importance of wisdom. And one person that sticks out in scripture is Solomon in 1 Kings 3. The Lord had appeared to him and he had asked Solomon if he could have anything in the world, absolutely anything. And perhaps you know the story, and he could ask for courage, he could ask for strength, he could ask for fame, he could ask for lots of different things, but what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. He asked for knowledge of how to make decisions. And that's what he decided to do. And God is so good because Solomon, when he asked for wisdom, and he didn't ask for the riches of the world and all those other things, the Lord so granted him all those other things that perhaps we would ask for first. The riches of the world, and the Lord blessed his life. And so wisdom is an important thing. But we need to recognize that there's godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And we need to understand and discern the differences between the two. So I'll be in James 3, verses 13 to 18. The verses will be on the screen. And if you have your Bible or your device, you can join me there as well. I'm reading out of the ESV this morning. So James 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, there's some powerful things here, lots of words that may we understand what they mean and perhaps shake us up a little bit. But what's interesting here, James asked the question in verse 13, and who is wise and understanding among you? And he's asking that question. Now, some commentators believe, and I see it as well, that this question is not pulled out of the blue. It doesn't just come out of nowhere. It actually refers also to teachers in the earlier verses. And we talked about that last week as well, if you remember. Again, if you haven't seen that, you can go to the website. And he talked about earlier in the verse about this idea about teachers and what it means to be a teacher in the church and how they'll be judged more strictly. And so James, again, is asking that question here. He wasn't expecting an answer necessarily, but he was giving an emphasis between what? Radical wisdom from heaven and that we see on earth. And how our earthly wisdom is rooted in things that are not fruitful for the kingdom. Well, we see those references here in Scripture. But heavenly wisdom gives us the good things and allows us to have peace and righteousness and those things that we see in Scripture here. So we need to understand the difference between the both of them to make godly decisions in this life. Because if we're not careful, even us in the church can be led by this world and the decisions and the things we see out there. And we base our decisions through worldly values and worldly wisdom versus heavenly wisdom and through the Scriptures. And we have to be aware of those things as well. Verse 13 says this, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. I want to address something here with that word meekness. I believe it's one of the most misunderstood words that we have in the world we live in today. And I think a lot of us, even in the church, don't fully understand what that word means. Some folks I've heard think that meekness means weakness. That if we're a meek person, we're showing weakness. Now, this is addressed for all of us, but I want to pick on the men for a second as well. That we need to understand full well that we, as men, all of us again, remember that, if we show meekness, it doesn't show that we are weak. Now, people who are afraid of their own shadow and aren't leaders or aren't showing meekness, that's a different conversation. But what I'm saying is that we have to understand that meekness is a good thing. Meekness is being able to have power under control. That's what meekness means. Now, an example of that, obviously, is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, strength and power. And yet, what do we see? The Almighty God in flesh. What do we see in Scripture? He's being arrested by these pure mortals, us as human beings. Jesus gets arrested. And in Matthew 26, he says this, or do you not think I cannot now pray to my Father, and he'll provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? So Jesus has been arrested. He's being accused of things he's never done. And he's not showing any weakness in this scenario. He's showing heavenly wisdom. And he's relying on the Father. And what's amazing to me is that Christ says this right here, that he could call 12 legions of angels. That's a lot of angels. I'm not sure if you recognize that. That's a lot of angels. Now think back also in the Old Testament and remind you of something. In 2 Kings 19:35, it says this. And this is when King Hezekiah was there. And this is what it says. Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. So that's one angel that took care of 185,000 Assyrians. So knowing the power of one angel, we can fully understand what 12 legions might do. And 12 legions could sort out every single one of us on this earth. So that's the power Christ had. He had that power at the snap of his fingers. But was he weak? No. He showed meekness. He didn't call for help because he was honoring the Father. And in that moment, many people have said this, and I've heard this even in the church. If Jesus is so strong, why didn't he call on the angels? He's weak, he's meek, and that's why I'm relating to this word about meekness, because we need to know that being meek is a good thing, and we're called to be meek as Christ followers. And in our lives, when we see Christ like this, perhaps you think, well, he should have lashed out, he should have lashed out in anger, but Christ is leaning into what? Heavenly wisdom that comes from the Father. And maybe for us in this world, when we are put in a situation where our rights have been taken away, or someone's attacking our character and perhaps gossiping about us, and there's things going on that we cannot control. And maybe for us, We want to respond in anger and lash out. But we're called to show meekness. Godly wisdom is pure, and that comes in how we react as well. And James says again that what? This wisdom that we get from God is peaceable. It means simply this, that we don't sacrifice our values for the sake of keeping peace as well. That we can able to have conversations with people and not compromise our beliefs in Scripture without burning the house down, without breaking relationships. And we can do those things. So as Christians, our hope is to hopefully keep peace and to have that wisdom that comes from God, to present the truth from the wisdom that comes from what? Our Heavenly Father. And even Jesus, when he was speaking to people, he talked about the dangers we would face about spreading the gospel as well, and the conflict that would come. And yet we're called to keep peace because of the wisdom that comes in Christ, and we need to understand that. And if we include earthly wisdom in our conversations with people that are far from Christ, we're not going to do well. It's going to turn into this argument versus a conversation, and there's a vast difference. We are called to stand up for the gospel, absolutely. But I believe we can still do it with godly wisdom that still secures that relationship that we have with people. Again, it doesn't mean we compromise, but it does mean that we speak the truth in love. And as for the wisdom of those scenarios, when they come up, I've spoken to many people that are far from Christ, and some of the things they say, I just shake my head at. And yet, I fully understand they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. So in those scenarios, I ask for wisdom. Lord, I need wisdom to understand how to speak to this person. And that's what you could be asking for. Verse 14 says again, but again, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false in the truth. So earthly wisdom is what? It is bitter. It is envious. And it can be in our spirits. It's self-seeking of the heart. It's about us. There's virtues that can stand out when it comes to earthly wisdom. It can be about power, the power that we want and the power we may have because of our title or the amount of money we have in the bank or what people call us. That's an earthly wisdom based upon our selfish needs. It can be about position as well, where we work, our titles again, our place in the church, our place in our community. We focus on power and position versus a sense of humility and meekness. It can be about privilege as well, and what we have, and look at me, and prestige can come with that too. And there's lots of dangers in earthly wisdom as Christ followers. Now, all those things in themselves aren't bad necessarily. However, as broken people in our flesh, if we are not careful, if we do not seek out godly, heavenly wisdom, and we seek out earthly wisdom, these things I just mentioned will do what? They will be part of our heart, and it will be the forefront of who we are. What's interesting about those things I mentioned, power, position, privilege, prestige, the enemy, Satan himself, once was an angel, and that's exactly the reasons why he challenged God and wanted to be just like God, because he was after power and position and privilege and prestige. And he rebelled against God. And what does the Bible tell us? Isaiah 14. How have you fallen from the heaven, morning star, son of dawn? You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depth of the pit. See, when Satan fell, Scripture tells us in Revelation 12 that he took one-third of the angels with him. Now think about that. That's a sizable group, isn't it? That's a lot of Satan's minions that have followed him. And he himself, Satan, wanted to be like God. And that's where, again, his pride came in the way, and look what happened to him. And we can see it also in Scripture in Luke 22, verses 24 to 30. We see the disciples arguing about what? Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? Again, they're basing their filter in their eyes on earthly wisdom and not heavenly wisdom. Verses 15 and 16 say this. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Now we see clearly in Scripture that earthly wisdom causes confusion. Every vile practice, it is worldly, and it's based upon our worldly standards that we see among us. And we need to be really discerning about what we're doing in this world. And perhaps you might be thinking, well, I always make my decisions through the wisdom of Scripture. But it's really important to do a heart check as well, to really understand, how are we filtering our decisions? Where are we getting our standards from? Because a little bit of compromise can easily sneak in without us even knowing it. And we have to ask that hard question about what kind of wisdom do we live by? So as we think about that again, this wisdom that's in this world is sensual. It's not about God. It's about appealing to our senses, our emotions, our passions. It's this idea that we serve ourselves. And it says in Scripture, it's a powerful word. It's demonic. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about the different kinds of faith we have and how demonic faith doesn't save us. And James is very clear about that. And the reason it's demonic is because it's surrounded, again, I keep saying it over and over again, but I need to understand, we all need to understand that this wisdom that we have on earth, the origin is from the enemy. It is not based upon anything godly. And James is challenging us to understand the difference between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. And Scripture tells us again, it's from above. It says in James 1:17, it comes from God. How else do we receive wisdom? Is by prayer. We ask God for wisdom over and over and over again. And the Bible tells us when we ask for wisdom, we will receive wisdom. We need to ask those questions as well. And knowing the source of our wisdom is very important to discern the truth of wisdom that comes from God versus our own wisdom and earthly wisdom. Now, we can have wisdom imparted on us by the power of the Holy Spirit to give us direction and clarity, and we pray into those things. And it's beautiful because as we think about earthly wisdom and how dangerous it is and how it's attached to so many different vile things, but what do we see in the Bible about heavenly wisdom? And it's a beautiful picture. It's absolutely a beautiful picture. But the wisdom from above is first pure. Pure. Just stop right there and just understand it's pure. It's from God. It's not distorted. It's not me against them. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. See, God's will is good wisdom. It's godly wisdom. It's to have that. And it's peaceable. And it's holding the truth as well, to have peace with other people, with an attitude of love. Ephesians 4 talks about that. And we think about that. It's gentle as well. And this is the way we deal with people too, in our interactions with one another. It's not just about being harsh. It's not about fighting to the death when it comes to opinion and trying to be right. Because what does that really serve? Well, there has to be a part of us to show humility and yield in situations where we're called to yield. Now, it doesn't mean we're doormats, but it does mean often at times for us to take a bit of a time out to understand how we're approaching a scenario in a situation. And how are people watching us in a situation where our temperature may rise, or we're in a conversation that's a little heated? Are we still being Christ followers in that moment? Yes, you are. But what's our witness like? Especially if people around you know you're a Christ follower. And how are we leaning into that? And that's why it talks about those things peaceable and how we should be called to do that as well. It produces good fruit. And we can see that in our lives. And we can see the good fruit in our lives. Remember, I talked earlier about James 1:22, where it talks about being the hearer and being a doer of the word. And we're called to action as Christ followers. That we're not just called to come and sit in the pew and get fat on wisdom, but not recognize that we have to be a part of the journey with Christ. And the blessing of following Jesus hopefully causes us to understand that faith that works is dead and we want to be a part of the kingdom work because it's such a privilege and an honor to follow Christ, and we want to give back to his kingdom. As we consider this as well, Scripture tells us that earthly wisdom has its own selfish needs in play, but godly wisdom is without hypocrisy. It comes out of a heart to do what? To desire to please God and not to please man. And we have to understand that as well, because of the fruit of righteousness that comes from God, we can defeat and challenge every evil thing in our life because of who God is and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the nature of heavenly wisdom comes from our Heavenly Father. And that's where we should be looking to when it comes to our lives. See, when people have earthly wisdom, they boast of their wisdom. They boast of their pride. They boast of what they have. And it's about us and our flesh. But when we have heavenly wisdom, there's a sense of humility there. There's meekness there. There's joy and there's hope in there. And as you come here this morning, we have to ask ourselves that question: what kind of wisdom do we want? Is it earthly wisdom that we want? Then you know what? No effort is necessary whatsoever. Go ahead and live your day by day. Just do what the world is telling you to do. Just follow every article you read on the magazines, everything you see on YouTube, everything you see on Facebook. Just follow that and you're good to go. There's no standard there, is there? The bar has been raised, not very high at all. As a matter of fact, it's very low. Because earthly wisdom doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot of consideration of other people. However, if it's heavenly wisdom we want in our lives, we're going to live with diligence. We're going to live with wisdom to conduct ourselves in a way that honors Christ. That we're going to prayerfully consider things around us when we make decisions. We're going to come alongside other people and prayerfully come alongside and pray with them for the wisdom they may need in their life. When it comes to sharing the gospel, if we rely on earthly wisdom, we're going to have a lot harder time being able to have those conversations and plant those seeds. Now remember, we are not called to convert anyone. We are called to be witness for the gospel. And I fully believe that when we lead into heavenly wisdom, we will be obedient to the gospel's call. And I think the harvest will be even bigger, because we're asking for the power of the Holy Spirit, which is godly wisdom, to lead us in our conversations and in the softening of hearts. We understand that. And a lot of times, sometimes when we present the gospel, we're not peaceable about it. We want to prove who's right and who's wrong. And it gives me great relief when I can share the gospel full well and plant the seed and walk away and let the Holy Spirit do the Holy Spirit's work. And there's something fun about that in the kingdom, isn't there? Where you're just planting seeds. A little seed here, a little seed there. And allow the Holy Spirit to move in people's hearts. So what kind of wisdom have you demonstrated in your life? In the last several days or last several weeks, what kind of wisdom have you shown? Verse 18 says this: "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So what do we see here? We see that the fruit of heavenly wisdom produces righteousness and sown in peace. And I talked about this earlier as well. In James 1:20, it says this: "The anger of man does not produce a righteousness of God." So we respond to the righteousness of kingdom and peace, we create a harvest. But we respond of our own anger, our own flesh, we are serving ourselves, and it becomes about us. Now, as we think about that, as we think about honoring God, as we think about this idea that we understand that godly wisdom comes from our Heavenly Father, it's sincere, it produces, again, the righteousness that God demands out of each one of us. And I pray that's a conviction of our heart as well, that we are not just going through the motions, as I mentioned, in communion, but we are living out of righteousness for the kingdom of God. Because that's all that matters in this life, is to seek first his kingdom, and all these things shall be given unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. That's what we're called to do. And we have to understand something too. Remember this, knowledge and wisdom are not the same. Please hear that. Knowledge and wisdom is not the same. Knowledge refers to what? The accumulation of facts. And please hear this, knowledge isn't a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But wisdom gives us an understanding of the facts that we have. It helps us understand the facts and what they mean. See, I know many Christ followers that are puffed up on knowledge. And they boast about that. And there's nothing wrong with the knowledge, but our attitude does matter in how much we know. But when it comes to understanding wisdom and making godly decisions, there's a disconnect in the heart. Because they think knowledge is the better half. And I think godly wisdom is much better. Because the decisions and the understanding comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. See, you could be the smartest person in the world and still be a fool for God. You know, I know the cross is foolishness of the world, and I get that, and we're called to, but we have to understand this, that we have to have wisdom in our lives, and that wisdom has to come from our Heavenly Father. See, anyone can gain knowledge, but only God can give wisdom. As we look to these scriptures and as we think about how it impacts us, we have to ask ourselves those questions, those hard questions. Am I living through earthly wisdom, or am I seeking out godly wisdom? Back in the day, there was an acronym. You should see that on the screen as well. And it was WYSIYYG. And it's an old computer term, and perhaps some of you know this. And back in the early days, it stood for what you see is what you get. And what it meant was whatever you saw on your computer screen, that's what you would print off. That's what came out. And so you didn't have the ability necessarily to adjust or fix those things. So what you see is what you get. Now, as you see, computers and technology has come a long way, so you can adjust what you print off on your screen. But when it comes to wisdom, I want to ask that question for all of us, is what you see is what you get. So when it comes to wisdom, what does that line up for your heart? What are you seeking out in terms of wisdom? Are you following the wisdom from above or the wisdom from this earth? Because what you see is what you get is what's going to come out in our lives. And if we're not pursuing godly wisdom, our life is going to portray that as well. We ask ourselves this question when it comes to wisdom that is based upon heaven. What's our life conduct like? How do we live our lives? In the secrets of our home, in the privacy at the office, when no one else is looking. How do we live our lives publicly? That, the way we live, speaks about the wisdom we have in our lives as well. Let's not forget that. They are connected. If you have jealousy in your heart, if you have envy in your heart, you have selfish ambition in your heart. Now, I understand those things can come and go. But if those are regular occurrences in our life, if those are regular habits that we portray in our spirit, and it comes out in the words we say or our actions, we have to ask ourselves the questions. Are we lying to ourselves? Are we really following God? We have to ask those hard questions because that's what the book of James is about. It's a handbook for us to ask those hard questions about where are we at with Christ. Now, for those who follow God in godly wisdom, there's going to be a sense of priority to what? To peace, to gentleness, to mercy, to live with righteousness that comes from God, to be peaceable with one another, to honor with one another, both publicly and privately. That what you see from me and what I'm saying to you face to face is what you're going to get when you're not in the room. And I understand none of us are perfect in that. However, where is our heart? Are we on the journey to want to get better, to allow those things that are in our lives that entangle us so deeply that it's called sin? Are we willing to ask the Holy Spirit to remove that so we can live with godly wisdom and honor Jesus and honor the people amongst us? It's such an important question to ask ourselves. I've had to make many decisions in this life, as we all have. And some decisions are small and some are big, but it doesn't matter the enormity of the decision. when it comes to our life conduct, when it comes to how we live, Jesus should be the filter. Heavenly wisdom should be our guide. And if you are unsure of what's leading you, we can chat about that. We can look at the Bible. We can evaluate what's going on in your life, about the decisions you've made. And we can see what's actually leading us by how we make decisions. And friends, James challenges us quite hardly in our hearts, and it's a challenge for me when I think about what I have to preach and how I have to live, because I'm the first guy to confess. I'm not perfect in any of this. And I stumble towards heaven every single day with all of you. However, my heart, my desire, is to honor Christ with my life, privately and publicly, to honor you as church people, as the body of Christ, as we journey together. And as we pray into the future, as we pray for each other, let's ask for the godly wisdom that comes from above and not to be just distorted by the earthly wisdom that may be guiding us today. Let's pray together. Father, thanks again for James and his words. And I pray today, as we consider what it means to lean into earthly wisdom and what it means to lean into heavenly wisdom. And I pray we understand the differences. And if we need to go back to these scriptures and reflect on and focus on those things that are from above versus those things on the earth, help us to do that. Help us to pray into these scriptures specifically to ask where we need help, whether it's selfish ambition or anything else that causes us to be further and further away from you. Lord, in the situations that each one of us is facing this morning that has been difficult, that has been hard, and we don't know what to do, I pray in the name of Jesus that each person that is facing a decision they need to make or is looking for understanding, I pray, Lord, you would speak words of life in those scenarios. And they would know the difference between what's being sent from you versus how we're being influenced by this world. So, Father, bring wisdom, godly, deep wisdom, heavenly wisdom in those relationships that need it, in our spiritual walk, in our day-to-day activity, how we raise our kids, how we do life together. I'm so grateful, Lord, for the Bible and for how it teaches us. And I thank you that in spite of our imperfection, in spite of our sin, that when we come with a repentful heart, that we come to the throne with our weaknesses, that you forgive us, that you shower us with grace and mercy. In Jesus' name.